Have you ever noticed that the Catholic Church loves to use big words? Have you ever noticed that? The latest big word that we're struggling with, of course, is consubstantial. It's not good enough. It's a struggle, too. It's not good enough to say one in being. We have to say consubstantial. The big word that we are probably the most familiar with, of course, is transubstantiation. Transubstantiation, which refers to what happens when the priest says over the bread and the wine at Mass the words that Jesus used, how the power of the Holy Spirit affects a change. Today we have another big word given to us in the gospel. Transfiguration. Transfiguration. Does anybody know what the difference is between transubstantiation and transfiguration? Huh? In point of fact, they mean exactly the opposite of one another. Transubstantiation refers to a change in essence, while the appearance remains the same. So when I say the words of consecration in the Eucharistic prayer, the appearance of bread and wine remains the same. They look the same, they smell the same, they taste the same, but they ain't the same, are they? Because by the power of God's Spirit, the bread is transubstantiated, changed in essence, into the body of Jesus Christ, and the wine into his blood. Transfiguration, on the other hand, is just the opposite. The essence doesn't change. The appearance changes. The figure changes. And so Jesus, when he came down on this earth, was always the Son of God. Jesus, when he came down on this earth, was always the equal of the Father and the Holy Spirit. But he didn't look the part at all. Most of the people who ran into our Lord during his public life would say, this is just an ordinary guy, or this is a great teacher, or this is a great rabbi. But that he is the equal of God? He didn't look very much like God. And then all of a sudden, on this one short episode, he takes three of his apostles up alone to the top of a mountain. A very beautiful mountain, by the way, Mount Tabor in Israel. Has anybody ever been to Israel, to Mount Tabor? Okay, so you can see the whole of Galilee from the top of Mount Tabor. See? And there, for a brief instant, Jesus reveals who he really is as the Son of God, who he really is as the Messiah of God. And so he has with him Moses and Elijah. Moses, the great lawgiver of the Old Testament. Elijah, the one whom the Jews considered and still to this day consider the greatest of all the prophets. And the meaning that Jesus is the sum of everything that the prophets foretold and everything that was written in the law is summed up in the person of Jesus Christ. But now let's take a look at one of the most interesting things in this episode of the Transfiguration, the reaction of Peter. Peter and the apostles are terrified. So what do you do when you're terrified? You start talking, of course. So Peter starts talking. Oh, Lord, it's really good for us to be here. Nice of you to ask us to come up here with you. It's really nice to be here. And then he enunciates the great Catholic principle, when in doubt, build. And he says, let's make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Wouldn't that be fun? And then the high point of the whole episode comes. The cloud comes, and the Father's voice is heard. The Father's voice comes very rarely in the New Testament. The Father himself, it's very rare that he makes an appearance where his presence is palpable, in this case, audible. And every time he comes at the baptism of the Lord, at the transfiguration, and one or two other times, he comes in the gospel. His message is always the same. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. Listen. Shut up, Peter. You don't need to talk. You don't need to do anything. Listen. First step of the spiritual life, that we listen to God. And if we apply that principle to our own prayer life, when you're talking to God, who's doing the talking? Do you do most of the talking? Does God get a chance to get a word in edgewise? What kind of prayer is that? What kind of dialogue is that? We Catholics especially are known, we need things to pray with. We need rosaries in our hands. We need a booklet in our hands. And we need to keep talking. Oh yes, if we talk long enough, God's going to listen to us and we're going to convince him that what we want is what we should get. And then when it doesn't work out that way, we get all upset. God's not listening to me. Hey, all God's been able to do is listen to you because you're doing all the talking. Hey? So the next time you go into the Adoration Chapel, and I hope all of you go in there regularly, the next time you go into that chapel, leave the rosaries aside, leave the booklets aside, and just go in and sit and say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And then shut up. When I was in the seminary, we had an old monk. I went to a Benedictine seminary in Missouri. We had an old monk, Brother Mark. And Mark must have been in his 90s. And he spent his entire day in church. And one time, one of the younger monks asked Brother Mark, he said, "Brother, what do you do all day in church?" And he says, "Well," he says, "I go in and I sit. And sometimes I talk to Jesus. Sometimes he talks to me. But most of the time, we just sit there and look at each other." Beautiful, beautiful, serene presence in the presence of the Lord. I don't have to do anything. If the Lord wants to let me know something, he'll tell me. Now, does that mean we should never pray the rosary in the chapel? No, it doesn't mean that at all. We should never bring in a prayer book? No, it doesn't mean that. But just every so often, just go in and sit. "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." Because the one thing that God the Father asks of the people of old at the time of Jesus, and he asks us today, "This is my beloved son. Listen to him. Listen."